Hey Mac Geeks, it's Wednesday, January 12th, 2005. This is the MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by a Mac Geek. I'm Adam, I'm your host, and this is where we discuss all things Macintosh. All right, everybody, it was a big, big Tuesday, and as you know, the Macworld keynote starring Steve Jobs kicked off, and man, did he have just a ton of stuff to share with us. It was very exciting, just like we all thought it would be. And so I'm just going to give you the rundown, the quick wrap-up of what happened at Macworld in case you missed it. The Macworld keynote is posted up on Apple's website, so if you want to view the full video, it's a streaming video, you can go to apple.com and check that out. So he kicked off the thing with OS X Tiger. It's been covered in several other keynotes, but I guess the big news here is we will see Tiger sometime in the first half of 2005. And I actually got a email from one of our listeners who pointed out a very interesting thing. He saw on a couple news or book websites, Informit.com, I believe, that there are some OS X Tiger Killer Tips book and some other books that are scheduled to be released in May 25th, I believe, 2005. And I'm sorry if you're the guy who sent in the email. I didn't put your name in my notes. But anyway, I think he made a very observant point in that if the books are coming out in May 2005 for Tiger, it's good odds that that must be around the release time that Apple's thinking about it. I don't know, it's speculation, but seems to make sense to me. So anyway, look for Tiger in the first half of 2005. If you want to see information on all the new features, check out apple.com/macOSX for details. We got a big show, so I'm not going to go into all of them right now. The next big announcement from Steve was the iLife 05 suite, just like we were thinking. It's going to be available January 22nd, and it's going to retail for $79. For those of you who don't know, iLife is the suite of applications that includes iPhoto, iMovie, iDVD, GarageBand, and iTunes. So what are we going to get with iLife 05 next week? Well, let's run down the list. iPhoto has a really cool new calendar view, so you can now see all your pictures in your iPhoto library by month, by day, by year. This is a feature I have been dying for. I don't know why it didn't exist before, but to be able to go in and say, just give me all my images from Christmas 2004, December 20th through the 30th would be just awesome, and you can do that now with iPhoto. We have new slideshow features, advanced slideshow features, so now you can actually, within iPhoto, when you set up your slideshow, put transitions between your slides, different transitions between your slides. You can change the timing of how long each individual image is up, so that's really cool. Another huge feature is it's going to have advanced image editing, so we can now go in and set our white and black points, and we can adjust our exposures and do all the fancy sorts of image editing you can do with other applications like Photoshop Elements and things like that. And that actually uses the dashboard technology, which is part of Tiger, so it looks like we're getting a little preview of that in the new iPhoto. iPhoto added support for the RAW format, so if you have one of those high-end digital cameras that supports RAW format as well as JPEG format, you can now put all your RAW photos into iPhoto, so I guess that's huge for professional photographers. The other big thing is they have new books, new iPhoto books. I've never personally ordered one, but if you do that, you can now get a number of options. The original option is still there, which was a hardcover 8.5 by 11 book, and it retailed for $29.99. The big news is that they can now print double-sided on the iPhoto books, the books you can order from iPhoto. So Now you get 20 pages for the same price. It used to be 10 pages for $30. Then they added a bunch of softcover versions. There's a large softcover version, which is the 8.5 by 11, and it's $19.99. And then there's a medium-sized softcover, which is 5.5 inches by 7.5 inches, and it's going to be $9.99. And then finally, they have a nice little small wallet-sized book, 2.6 inches by 3.5 inches for only $3.99, $4. I think that one's going to be a big seller personally because you can put, you know, a set of photos that maybe you want to take around and show to grandma and grandpa or you know, your relatives, your friends and family. So it's a nice handy carry size and you can get nice professional prints in a little bound book. So that's it, kind of it for the new features of iPhoto. iMovie was the next big announcement, and Steve said in the keynote that this is the year for HD, for high definition. So a lot of what they were announcing centered around high definition, and iMovie was no exception. They added high definition support, 16 by 9 format support for iMovie. So if you have one of those nice new Sony high definition digital video cameras, you can now do your video editing in iMovie. They also added something called Magic iMovie, which for those of you, if you're lazy or just want to create a quick iMovie, you can hook up your digital camera on a FireWire, and as it's importing, or I guess before you start importing, you can set the transitions and stuff that you want, the default transitions you want between clips, and what it'll do is it'll import your clip and add the transitions and basically build your iMovie for you in one click. So that's kind of cool. And then they added new effects, transitions, and you know a bunch of other smaller features. Moving on, we have iDVD. Now in iDVD, they added 15 new themes, some really cool themes with motion menus and things like that. And within those motion menus, they have what they're calling dynamic drop zones. So you can now, within the motion menus, add your own video and photo elements, and those will move around the screen and stuff like that too. So that's really cool. And then the last thing, similar to what they did in iMovie, they now have one-step DVD creation direct from your digital camera. So if you just want to take your raw footage from your DV camera, plug it into iDVD, and just spin off a quick DVD, then you can do that. And I guess that'll be a feature that'll be used by the amateur or independent film people who just want to do what's called dailies. You know, you go out and you shoot all your footage for your movie and you just want to get it out to your editors to see what your best shots are and stuff like that. You can just plug your DV camera in and have it write out right to a DVD and, you know, ship that off. So that's cool. Now, next is GarageBand. So we're going to have GarageBand 2. And it was kind of cool in the keynote. They had John Mayer come up and play some music and kind of demo GarageBand. I thought that was kind of neat. But anyway, in GarageBand, you now can do multi-track live recording. So you can do up to 8 tracks live recording into GarageBand. So if you're in a band, I guess that's going to be a really cool feature for you. I guess you couldn't do that before. And now you can. So that's cool. The next thing in GarageBand is real-time musical notation. This is cool because as you're actually playing music into GarageBand, it will actually generate the musical notation for you. So in the demo, it was amazing to watch as John Mayer played, the music would come up on the screen, and you could see it actually writing out all the musical staff and notes and things like that. And then they also have added timing and tuning enhancements. So you can now tune your guitar and things like that using GarageBand. The final thing in iLife 05 is iTunes 4.7, which is actually available now. And I believe there's a new version that was just released on Apple Software Update that is 4.7.1. And it basically adds iPod Shuffle support, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. And then Steve also announced that they have enhanced the iTunes Essentials area of the iTunes Music Store to help you better find music that you might like. So the next piece of software Apple announced was something we had talked about as one of the rumors, and of course it came true. It was iWork 05, which again is available January 22nd. It's going to retail for $79, and it is what is replacing or is the next generation of Apple Works, Apple's office type suite, and it's going to include two pieces of software, Keynote version 2, which, if you don't know, Keynote is Apple's presentation software. It kind of competes with PowerPoint. Really great piece of software, comes with really nice themes. The version 2 announcement basically was that Keynote is going to include high definition support, so again, sticking with that high definition theme. And then the other half of the iWork 05 suite is Pages, which is the new word processing application. And what's really cool about Pages is it's going to allow you to create really great looking documents. It comes with a full set of themes for doing newsletters and brochures and just about any type of word processing material you might want to produce. And they, of course, are really great looking documents because they come from Apple. So, you know, all the font formatting and everything's set for you. All you have to do is plug in your copy and select which types of pages you want themes applied to. Should make it really easy to create beautiful word processing documents. And then the added benefit is it has full support for all types of formats, including Microsoft Word .doc format for UPC people, but also HTML support, PDF support, rich text format support, text-only support, and then on the import side, you can import all those formats as well as import all your graphics formats, GIFs, JPEGs, you name it, it probably will handle it. So that's going to be a really great productivity suite for a lot of people. And I think you're going to be generating great presentations and great word processing documents with it. The final piece of software that was announced was another thing to add to the HD theme, this being the year of high definition, according to Apple, and that was Final Cut Express High Definition. So if you need to go beyond the features of iMovie, but you aren't quite ready for Apple's full-blown non-linear video editing system, Final Cut Pro, you can try out Final Cut Express, and it's going to retails for $299, and the Final Cut Express HD should be available in 3 to 4 weeks. So on to Apple's hardware announcements, and man, were these some of the best announcements ever. Of course, the very first thing out of the gates was the Mac Mini, which is we had been talking about as the headless iMac or the sub $500 iMac, and sure enough, it came in priced right under $500 at $499. And this thing is just awesome. It is so small. It is 6.5 inches wide by 6.5 inches deep by only 2 inches high. Just a tiny, tiny thing. It's really hard to get the concept until you see it. Steve held it up between his hands, and you know, it was just like this nice little cube. Little short cube, just amazing. And the specs are even almost as incredible. Okay, so here's how it goes. It's going to be a 1.25 gigahertz G4 processor with a 40 gigabyte hard drive, 256 megabytes of PC2700 DDR RAM, an ATI Radeon 9200 graphics card with 32 megabytes of memory, a slot-loading combo drive, which means it'll play DVD movies and burn CDs in either CDR or CDRW format. And that's for $499. They also are going to offer a $599 model. The difference is it comes with a 1.42 gigahertz G4 processor and an 80 gigabyte hard drive. All the other specs are the same. All the models have the option to have AirPort Extreme and Bluetooth added to them, and then they all come with an Ethernet port, 10 base 100 Ethernet port, a modem, DVI VGA connector, so you can hook up your Apple flat panel display with the DVI, or if you just want to go with a cheap 17-inch CRT type monitor, you can use the VGA. It has two USB 2.0 ports and FireWire 400. So, you know, Apple is going to sell a gazillion of these things. You guys, I think it's just going to be an amazing product, and I'm looking forward to seeing one. They're coming out the same time frame as all the software on January 22nd. So, really looking forward to seeing one of these things, and man, if I could come up with the money, I probably would buy one. I don't even need another Mac, but they just are so appealing. And another piece of appealing hardware is the flash-based iPod, which we now know is called the iPod Shuffle. As we mentioned on Monday's show, it does not have a screen, which, is still kind of disappointing to me. I wish it had at least a one-line screen where we could see, which track was currently playing. But I'm slowly getting over that. The more and more I read about this, and people are getting them in their hands because they're available now, they're kind of swaying my opinion. A lot of people are saying that, with only a limited amount of memory on the flash players, you really don't need a screen because mostly how you use it is you just put it in shuffle mode and you go to the gym and you work out, or there's a lot of arguments for it. So I'd love to hear everyone's opinion on the screen or just on any of the products that were announced at Macworld. Send me a MP3 audio comment. You can send it to maccast@gmail.com and let me know what you think. So here's the details on the iPod Shuffle. There are two models. There is a 512 megabyte version that is $99, which is just, that's an incredible price. You can't get most 256 megabyte flash players that are out on the market are $149, so you can't even get 256 megabytes for $99, and Apple's giving you 512 for $99, and then they are also offering a 1 gigabyte model for $149. And the cool thing about this is, of course, it's an iPod, so it just looks so cool. It is so tiny, has a great interface with, the round buttons surrounding a center button, which we're used to with the iPod, so it matches the original iPods in terms of its style. You can use it in shuffle mode, so you can have it shuffle your songs as you play them, or you can play them actually in order, in the order that you loaded them onto the device. It has the USB built right into it. It has a little cap on the end. You take the cap off and you just plug the USB right into your Mac. No fussing about. You can use it as a USB storage key. So if you guys have seen the thumb drives that allow you to, just store files, so when you plug it in, it'll actually mount on your desktop as a hard drive, and you can just drag files to it. In iTunes, you'll be able to set how much space you want to allocate for music and how much space you want to allocate for file storage. And then the cool thing is they added this autofill feature to iTunes specifically for the iPod Shuffle. So what you do is you define how much space you want for music, and then you either select your full library or you can select a playlist, and you can have the iTunes software just fill it up randomly with tracks from your library. So it'll go through and just pick out random tracks and fill it up to the storage space of your iPod Shuffle. Disconnect it, take it with you, put it on shuffle, and you get random tunes selected from iTunes. So it's kind of cool because you don't know what you're going to get, but you know it's going to be your music that's on there. So that's pretty cool. It has a built-in battery, which separates it from a lot of the other flash devices which use double A's, and it actually recharges through the USB connector and will give you up to 12 hours of play time on the device. And people are saying that it is so light. Apple compared it to a pack of gum in terms of its size, but they're saying it's more like a stick of gum when you're carrying it around because you just don't even notice it. It weighs less than an ounce. It comes with a little lanyard so you can hang it around your neck and wear it, or you just throw it in your pocket and go. It's just a really great device, and Apple's going to sell a gazillion of them, I'm sure. So the last great bit of news today is that Apple came out with its fourth quarter earnings report, and it just went through the roof. They had their best quarter ever, according to them, and they are reporting profits of $295 million for the quarter, which is translating into 70 cents per share. They shipped 4.58 million iPods, which is an increase of 525% over the same quarter a year ago. So the iPod is just exploding, and I think that's translating into better Mac sales, and we're converting more of those PC users, and that's evidenced by the fact that their computer sales were up 26% from over a year ago, which translates to, I guess, to 1,046,000 Macs sold in the fourth quarter of this year. So Apple is just going crazy, and I think with this new Mac Mini, it's just gonna explode in 2005. I can't even imagine what Apple's going to do. And as you know, I think there's a lot of people that agree with me because in after-hour trading today, Apple's stock has, gone up like 11%. I think I was reading it's back over $70 a share. So Apple's just going crazy. It's going to be a fun year to be a Mac geek. So this is ending up to be a long podcast. I'm noticing we're already at our 20-minute limit that I try and keep it under, but I've got a couple more things to cover, so I'll try and blast through them. I'm also having trouble with GarageBand. It actually keeps cutting out on me. I had to record the front part of this show, re-record it because it actually cut out and I didn't notice it. So let me try and wrap this up real quick, but I have another few things that I want to say. So Macworld, send me your Macworld impressions. I want to hear from you on what you guys think about all these announcements. I want to hear your comments. Please call the hotline 206-222-2788, and you can leave a message for me. If you want to record your own MP3 and send that to me at maccast@gmail.com, please do that. I've had some people express concerns that they don't want to fill up my mailbox. It's a Gmail account, so I have over a gigabyte of mail storage, so you're not going to fill it up. Send me those MP3s. Something I thought about is you might not know how to record an audio comment, and you can find some great tutorials on podcasting, which includes how to use GarageBand to make a recording and save it out as an MP3. So check out iPodder.org, www.iPodder.org. Look in the directory section and look in the documentation section on podcasting, and they have information on how to record a podcast, but you can use that to record your MP3 audio comment and then just send that to me in email. You can also look at the February issue if you subscribe to Mac Addict. The February issue of Mac Addict has a great article on how to podcast, and it has details on how to do a recording in GarageBand as well. And then, of course, you can always just send me your comments via email, maccast@gmail.com, if you just want to write out your thoughts and impressions. I'd love to hear from you. All right, so one Macworld prediction that didn't come true, or rumor that didn't come true, came late yesterday, and it was that there were going to be PowerBook speed bumps on the G4 PowerBooks, new G4 speed bumps. And that didn't happen. But another thing that I got an audio comment on, and a lot of people are wondering about, can be expressed by Joe's thoughts. So here's what Joe had to say.
Hi, Adam. This is Joe. Just listened to your January 10th program. It's a great show. I was interested in the speed bump for the PowerBooks, and I was wondering what the issues are for a G5 PowerBook. I know that's either not in the works or not feasible for some reason, but I was wondering if anyone really knew why that was. Thanks.
So I don't think Joe is the only one who's wondering this. This comes up over and over again, and actually I just saw a comment from Apple's CFO, Peter Oppenheimer, today when they announced the earnings, and he basically, someone asked him this exact question, and he said, and this is a quote, "Right now it would be the mother of all challenges." But I think the problem here is he doesn't go into details on why it's such a challenge. And as far as I know, the only thing I know about it is heat. Heat seems to be the big issue with trying to get the G5 into a small form factor like a PowerBook. But they were able to do it with the iMac, so at least at the slower clock speeds. So I'm not so sure about that. I'm not sure how the iMac is able to be cooled and what the bigger challenges are with a PowerBook. If anybody knows more about this, please send me an audio comment or send me an email so I can help Joe figure out why they're what's taking so long on these G5 PowerBooks and why officials at Apple are saying it's going to be such a big challenge. All right, that's the show. Visit the website maccast.com for all the show notes. Click on the show notes area and you guys can get links to everything that I've discussed. The last thing I'm going to leave you with is another piece of new music. I'm getting more and more new music every day. If you're in a band and you want to be played on the podcast, send me your MP3 files. I love getting new music and I love broadcasting it out to all the listeners. Getting some great stuff. And the latest piece is from The Letterpress. Their website is www.theletterpress.com. And this song is called Falling Away. So I hope you enjoy it, and I will see you all next time.